are just letters on a page. But when God wields His Word, it's more than just letters and words on a page. It is living. And it is active in all of its efforts. Now, we didn't know at one time in our life that we needed God's Word. I, like Brother Tom, was raised with believing parents and a Baptist preacher as a dad. And I was raised in the truth of God's Word. And for years, I knew it was a good idea. I knew that it was a good thing. But it was like letters and words on a page to me. I knew that doing what the Bible said was the right thing to do. I understood that. Intellectually, I guess you could say, I understood the gospel. But it wasn't alive to me. It didn't really mean much to me. Until God took His hammer, Brother Al, and smashed the rock of my heart. And that's what I'm going to talk to you about tonight. I didn't realize that I needed God to the extent that I do. God wants you to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ tonight. And by His grace, His strength, and His power, you will before you leave here. Well, let me tell you a little story. The story is about Adam and Eve. God created Adam and Eve. He placed them in the garden. They were without sin. And they walked and talked with God daily. And God gave him His law. And they broke part of that law. And when they did, they fell. And their sinless nature became sinful. And God had to punish them for that sin. He had to. Because they had broken God's law. And in doing that, He cast them from the garden. And they were separated from God. Well, they experienced something here. And we call it death. And it is a separation. That's what death is. It's just a separation. We humans think of it in finality like it's just the end. It's the end. But let me tell you, death is not the end. But rather, it's a beginning. Adam and Eve were separated from God. And He told them that if they ate of the fruit of that tree that was forbidden, that they would surely die. And when they ate of that fruit, they did die. Because they were separated from God. The reason they were able to die and keep on living was that they died spiritually. Because they walked and talked with God, we know that they were spiritually alive. Right? Because God is spirit. Those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in His truth. They were spiritually alive, but they died. Well, what happened when they filled the earth with humans is that every single one that was born sinful. Every single person was born sinful. Mankind inherited this sinful nature. The Bible says we come forth from our mother's womb spewing lies. Brother Al taught us a while ago that if we've broken one of God's laws, we've broken them all. And we have, every single one of us. Every single one. What I'm trying to show you is your need for Jesus Christ, the Son of the only living God. We need Him. There was only one way made for God and man to be reconciled. Only one. Blood had to be shed. And not just any blood, but perfect blood. And there was only one lamb that was without spot or blemish. Only one sacrifice that was acceptable to Almighty God. And that was His only begotten, beloved Son. Now, before the foundation of the world, and many people don't believe this, but before the foundation of the world, God the Father gave a people to God the Son. They made a covenant. And that covenant was, in order for God the Son to redeem this group of people that God gave Him, because they were all under the curse of sin, He had to come to this earth, born of a virgin, walk this sinful earth, yet without sin. He was to suffer, to bleed, and to die. And He willingly did this for you. And let me tell you why. Because He loved you with a love that I think we'll spend eternity trying to comprehend. As Brother Al said earlier, we wonder, why did He save me? Why did He save me? The chief of sinners, that's me. Why did He save me? And there's one answer. And that is because He loved me. Not because of anything that I thought, said, or did, or ever could think, say, or do. No, all because of Jesus Christ and His love for me. And He fulfilled this promise that He had made to God, the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Son, entered into a covenant. And He perfectly fulfilled that promise, or that covenant, that agreement. And He did come to this earth. And He did suffer. He did bleed. He did die, and He did it for us. He was triumphant. As Brother Chuck would say, I have read the end of the book, and we win. Jesus Christ was triumphant. They buried Him in a tomb, but in 3 days, God the Father sent 2 angels down there to roll back that stone. Jesus Christ could have blown that tomb all apart with one word. But it wasn't God's way. God's way was to send those angels in a type, as if the warden of the prison sent the guard to open the door, to roll back the stone. When do they do that? When does the warden send them to open the cell and to release the prisoner? It's done when the price has been fully paid. Amen. We sang, Jesus is more than enough. Amen. My brothers and sisters, He was more than enough. More than enough. And so we are in need of Him because we have this sinful nature in us. We need to be saved by Him. And how does He save us? But by the foolishness of preaching. By His Word. His living Word. When God reveals His Word to us by His Spirit, as He did me 28 years ago, He saved me. And He did it by His Word. God came to me in spirit with His Word. And His Word was powerful. So powerful that it was irresistible. Brother Al brought back remembrance of that very day. Because I didn't sleep either. I remember it well. I wept all night all night. Because I was so taken with the fact that He would save me. Why would He save me? I certainly didn't deserve it. It was powerful. When He comes with us to us with this sword, that is powerful. It is so powerful that it convinced me that this Word was truly the Word of God. It convinced me of that. I knew it was a good book. I knew quite a bit about it. I had believing parents. God blessed me so greatly. But I hadn't felt the power of it, you see. Hadn't felt the power of it. Powerful. So powerful that it converted me. I had never heard that about God's Word being a hammer that breaks the rocks. That really touched me tonight because that's what happened. When you're in your natural state, your heart is hard to God, like a rock. It's hard. And God's Word just skims off of it. If you throw a little pebble against a large rock, it just bounces off of it, doesn't it? And that's what had happened to me all my life. I heard God's Word. I heard the truth of how He saves sinners. But it bounced off of me. Well, let me tell you, when the sword of the Spirit came to me, all of a sudden, that rock was busted all to pieces, Brother Al. It was busted all to pieces. It was made soft so that it received, my heart received Jesus Christ. Received that Word. Powerful. And it converted me. God converted me with His Word and by His power. Convinced me that this really is the Word of God from cover to cover. I believed in God, but I hadn't experienced it, see. I hadn't experienced it. And praise God, it not only convinced me and not only converted me, but then by His power, it comforted me. I told you when God saved me that I wept all night, and that's a true story. But He comforted me. He comforted me. Our text says that the Word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's sharp. It will cut you. It will cut you. It is able to enter where nothing else can enter. It's able to penetrate a stony heart, if you will. A heart that is enmity against God. The Bible says that's how we are before we're saved. You know what that means? Basically, that means we hate God. Our heart was enmity against Him. But praise Him tonight that by the sword of His Spirit, He changed our hearts. Amen. And if you have not been changed, if you have not experienced this power of God that we have been speaking of tonight, my prayer tonight is that God will touch you and that He will change your heart. Amen. And make you receptive to His Word and obedient. Let's look for a moment at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and 14. I'm going to start in verse 13. It says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having your loins girt about with truth. Truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It all sounds like God's Word, doesn't it? Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Verse 16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Where do we get that shield of faith? My Bible says, above all, take the shield of faith. Where and when do we get that? Well, when the sword of the Spirit of God comes unto you and He changes your heart. I told you a while ago that it's convincing and that it convinced me that this was the Word of God. How did it do that? Nothing or no one else could ever do that in a million years. No one. My brother and my sister, you can't believe until God changes you. This is a saving faith. And it's planted in your heart by God in the power of the sword of the Spirit. That's how it's done. Now we can take the shield of faith. And this verse says that the fiery darts of the wicked we can quench by believing. By having that faith that God gives us. To believe that He truly is God above all. And in control of all things. Back to our text. Verse 12 of Hebrews 4. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing sunder of soul and spirit. The spirit of man is a proud spirit. And that's something that every person has in his heart. Is pride. It's something we all have. But when God changes us, when He slices us with this sharper than any two-edged sword, when He slices us with it, it cuts very, very deep. And one of the things that it slices away, if you will, is the pride of man. It did me. Oh, when He cut me with that sword, the very last thing, the very furthest thing from my mind was, boy, I'm pretty smart. I believed. No. I fell down on my face and cried and wept. Why would you save somebody like me? It slices away the pride of man right out of your heart. God shares His glory with nobody. If you're saved tonight, give all glory to Him. Because He did it. He did it. It causes a proud spirit to turn humble. And now that we're saved, we have this sword that is quick, powerful, sharp, able to divide asunder of soul and spirit. and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now we know that we have something that we can depend on, and that's God's Word. Satan tempted Jesus Christ when he was on this earth with physical hunger. And the Lord quoted His very own Word. And He basically said, man shall not live by bread alone or food alone. What did He say then? But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We have to eat to stay strong and just to live every day. I don't miss many meals. If I do, it's by mistake. But I have a bad habit of missing my spiritual meals. And I suffer from it. But let me tell you, there's no excuse. Because God's Word is as manna from heaven. It is spiritual food. Not only did it cut me to the quick when God used it to save me, but it continues to do so. And I continue to need it daily. I need it daily. I need that pride sliced away from my heart every day. Every day I need God's Word. It cuts off the sinful habits that are deeply rooted in my natural heart. God's Word does that. It really is that powerful. It really is. Oh, if you haven't experienced it, it's your greatest need tonight. If you haven't experienced God's Word, it's your greatest need. We have habits that keep coming back. Because we're still carrying this old sinful nature with us. But praise God, we have a road map here. We have the answer. We have the sword of the Spirit to keep us straight. And it will. God's Word cuts off ignorance from understanding. I told you that I listened to the Word of God most all of my life, and I did. But I couldn't understand it. I couldn't understand it. I was ignorant of what it meant. But God's Word, by the power of the Spirit of God, cut off that ignorance from my mind and gave me understanding. He did that. He did it. I tried. Believe me, I tried. I wanted to be saved. I thought I was saved at about 12. And I was baptized. But it wasn't the real deal. I thought it pretty much was all the way until God really saved me. And then I was like, boy, where'd this come from? I was mistaken. Was mistaken. But it cut off the ignorance from my mind and gave me understanding of how God really saves sinners. It cut off rebellion from my will. We hear a lot in our days about that we are free to choose. We hear a lot about our free will. Well, I've looked at my will quite a bit in my life. And I'm here to tell you tonight, it's not free. It's in bondage. It's in bondage to sin and that sinful nature that I inherited from Adam and Eve. But as Brother Al said earlier, the truth will set you free. the truth. You heard the truth tonight of how God saves sinners. My prayer is that God will use it. And I mean this in a good way. I pray that He will cut you to the heart with the sword of His Spirit. And that you will become spiritually alive, which if you have not been changed by God, you're not spiritually alive. But still in darkness. This sword can cut off the lust of the flesh, the lust of the mind. And it makes us willing to go under the sharpest operation of the mortification of sin. Makes us willing to have that pride cut away. It makes us willing to have the lust of the flesh and sin cut out of our heart. Because now that we have been changed, we loathe sin. We don't want to bring a reproach against such a great God that loved us with so deep a love that He gave His life for us. We don't want to bring a reproach on Him, do we? No. We love Him because He first loved us. The Word of God will turn you inside out. That's what it did to me. It turned me inside out. Oh, we think we know ourselves so well, don't we? But we don't. But God's Word, when it comes to you in power, will turn you inside out. And if you're anything like me, it's not a pretty picture. God will show you yourself that you truly are a sinner in need of Him. Desperate. Not the picture that you've seen of someone treading water in the ocean and someone else throwing them a life ring. Here, be saved. No. It's more like the picture of Jonah in the belly of that whale in the bottom. In the bottom of the ocean, dead in trespasses and sins. Dead, not sick. Not sick, but dead. Dead in trespasses and sins. Oh, Lazarus is a picture of you and me. He was dead. They told Jesus, "He stinketh. He's been dead for days." That's the inside-out picture that God shows us right there. And when He does that and allows us to see ourselves the way we really are, praising, because you can't see it until He changes your heart and makes you spiritually alive. But when He makes you spiritually alive, praise God, you can see yourselves. No, it's not a pretty picture. But now you can follow Him. Before that time, you couldn't. I pray that God will bless the reading of His Word tonight. Thank you.
Never become so